listening to CMDA Matters, the weekly podcast of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. Here's your host, Dr. Mike Chubb.
Well, you know, if you weren't able to attend the 2024 CMDA National Convention that took place earlier this year in North Carolina, I hope that you've enjoyed some of the highlights of our convention on CMDA Matters throughout this summer. And as we wrap up summer and prepare for our fall, I want to share one last message with you from this year's convention from a preacher, an evangelist with a name that you will recognize immediately. We were so honored to have Reverend Will Graham join us as our Saturday evening plenary speaker. If you're not familiar with Will, he's the third generation of Grahams who have proclaimed the good news of Jesus Christ under the banner of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. He has shared the gospel with more than 1 million people across 6 continents since beginning his evangelistic ministry in 2006. Will also serves as executive vice president of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. He's been giving leadership to all aspects of the organization that his grandfather, the Reverend Billy Graham, founded in 1950. Will and his wife, Kendra, they have 2 daughters and a son, and they live in the mountains of North Carolina. You might remember that our theme for this year's convention was Raising His Banner. We focused on how we can join together as Christian professionals in healthcare to raise Christ's banner and stand for Him wherever He leads and wherever He asks. And Reverend Graham shared an inspiring message about an unsung hero named Hushai from the Old Testament in 2 Samuel and his pure and total obedience to God's call through King David. I really think you're going to enjoy hearing from Reverend Graham, so please keep on listening.
Well, good evening. I will have to say this is highly unusual. Usually if I speak for a group, I make them come to the cove. But I made the exception here, I guess. No, I've been over here a number of times. It's a great place. I'll give you a little bit of local rivalry. This used to be owned by Lifeway, the Southern Baptist, all right? And they used to own this. It's no longer owned. I think it's a consortium of private owners now. Still do the same great work, even better. But this was the Southern Baptist. On the other side of the mountain is what? Montreat Presbyterian. Billy Graham lives over there. My grandmother was Presbyterian. Billy is Southern Baptist. And so the Ridgecrest people are always giving my granddaddy a hard time. You know, why are you over there as a Southern Baptist hanging out with all those, you know, Presbyterians? And my granddaddy, shh, I'm a missionary among them. So that's kind of the old rivalries between Montreat and Ridgecrest right here. But we welcome you to the west of North Carolina. And Dr. Mueller, nice to meet you. And thank you for Shine. They did a fabulous job. It's always great to see my alma mater and to see the students it's producing. I'm very proud of my school. And my friends, that's where I fell in love with God's Word. Now, I'd given my life to Christ years ago at home in North Carolina. And I grew up in a Christian home, memorized scriptures, did Awana, quiz bowl, you know, where they quiz you and all that type of stuff. I mean, I did all this stuff. And so I knew the scriptures, even when I went to Liberty. I mean, my walk with the Lord was strong when I got there. But it was my professors there that helped me to fall in love with God's Word. Not just to know it, but to fall in love with it. And so I'm so grateful for that because, well, tonight you're going to get a mouthful from me out of the Word of God. And that's what's important. It doesn't matter what Will Graham says. It matters what the Bible says. And that's what's important. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 2 Samuel. I want to look at another man in Scripture that we don't know much about, but he would have a profound impact on the kingdom of God, especially David. And so here in 2 Samuel chapter 15, I'm going to kind of set the stage. David's family is a mess. His son raped David's daughter. This would be Amnon's half-sister. He would rape his half-sister. It caused a huge problem in the family to the point where Tamar's brother, Absalom, was so mad at his father, and especially his brother, who his half-brother who raped her, that he planned revenge. For 2 years he worked on that. And finally it took place, and he killed his brother. Had his servants do it, actually. And he ran off. He went off to hide with his grandfather in another country. This is David's father-in-law that he would go run off to, the king of Geshur. It was a mess. Now, a few years later, Absalom comes back. David forgives him. But David doesn't realize that Absalom's still stewing. His anger is still stewing. And so now Absalom leads a revolt against his father. He said, I'm going to be king. And he leads a rebellion against his father. And it got David by surprise. So David doesn't have his army ready or anything like this. But Absalom has his army coming out of Hebron. And so David has to flee. And so David leaves Jerusalem. He didn't want to fight over Jerusalem. He loved the city so much he didn't want to fight. So he left. And as he's going up to the Mount of Olives, someone comes up and says, not only is Absalom raising an army against you, but Ahithophel has joined them. Now, Ahithophel was David's greatest advisor. He was the smartest man in David's lineup. He was brilliant. And this is what the Bible says about Ahithophel. Basically, his words were like God. Not that he was God, but whatever he told you to do, you did it, and you were successful at doing it. In other words, it was like he was, not that they were claiming he was God, but it was like his wisdom was so great that if you did it, it was just like God was blessing you to follow it. And Ahithophel was David's greatest supporter. Why would he ever switch? What's the one part of the Bible you never want to read? You skip over it. The begets, right? So-and-so begat so-and-so, begat so-and-so, begat so-and-so. Well, this is where it comes in handy one time. We find out that Ahithophel, his granddaughter, her name is Bathsheba. And he's mad at what David has done to his family. And so that's why he turns on his king. And so as David's going up the Mount of Olives, as he's fleeing the city of Jerusalem, he gets word that Ahithophel has switched sides. And he gets to the top and he prays. He looks at Jerusalem. He thinks it's going to be for the final time. And he prays and pours out his heart before God. And he says, Lord, I pray that you turn the wisdom of Ahithophel into foolishness. In other words, Lord, I'm a cooked goose if Ahithophel is not with me, because he knows how to get me. And so that's where it comes, as we come to verse 32, 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 32. This is where it comes. Now it happened when David had come to the top of the mountain where he worshiped God, there was Shushai the Archite coming to meet with him with his robe torn and dust on his head. Hushaiah is going to be the answer. Think about this one thing real quick. David prayed and he opens his eyes and there's Hushaiah. In other words, there's the answer to his prayer and it's already been answered. In other words, think about this. It took Hushaiah some time to get there. God had answered the prayer before David prayed the prayer. Important lesson right there. And I want to look at this man of Hushaiah. He's a profound man. I've learned a lot from this man. He's not young. First off, he's a humble man. I'm going to give you some characteristics of this man. If you're taking notes, It's real simple. He was a humble man. Point number one, he was a humble man. His name only shows up 14 times in all of Scripture. Mostly here in 2 Samuel chapter 15 to chapter 17. That's basically where his name shows up. Those two chapters, that's it. He's part of the Archites, which was a small Canaanite clan that lived in Ephraim on the border with Manasseh. In other words, it's a no-name town. Today, we don't want to be humble. We don't want to come from humble beginnings. We want to be first and prominent in the world that we live in. We want to be seen. We want to be recognized. We want to have the most TikTok views or Instagram followers. We're old enough where most of us are probably doing Facebook still. Yeah, I'm one of them. We simply want to be famous. We want to be famous. But he was a humble man from humble beginnings. And that's what we see there in verse 32. Hushai the Archite coming to meet him with his robe torn and dust on his head. So that comes to point number two. He was not only a humble man, he was a compassionate man. When we first see the description of him, he has his clothes torn. Tearing of one's clothes was to show an outward side of an inward truth. In other words, you tear your clothes to show that your heart is torn. He was compassionate. In other words, he realized what the king was feeling. That's what compassion means, is to recognize and to see it through the other person's eyes and feelings. For a medical doctor, that's one of your greatest jobs in life, is to be able to identify with what your patient is feeling. That's what compassion is, to see the plight of other people. And he was a compassionate man. He saw and he recognized it, and his heart was torn because his king's heart was torn. And we need to be compassionate people. Let me ask you this. When's the last time you ever wept for a lost person? When was the last time your heart was torn for the loss of your city, your community? My friends, Jesus wept over Jerusalem. See, my friends, we need to identify with people's problems and their hurts. We don't want to do that today. I don't have empathy, but God did give me compassion for people. I'm a weeper. I cry in movies, like The Dirty Dozen. Jim Brown doesn't make it. You think I'm joking, but I know it sounds like it, but I weep at things like that because I can identify with it. Identify with what they're going through. Number three, not only was he a compassionate man, he was a loyal man. Look at verse 33. And David said to him, "If you go on with me, then you will become a burden to me." Now, we don't know why he would be a burden. Maybe he was too big. Maybe he was too old, had like a cane, like could hardly move. I don't know. "But you will be a burden to me. But if you return to the city and say to Absalom, 'I will be your servant, O king, as I was your father's servant previously, so I will also be your servant,' then you may defeat the counsel of Ahithophel for me." So here we see David said, "You can't come with me." In other words, Hushai is saying, "David, I'm coming with you. I'm leaving with you." And David said, "No, you can't. You're going to slow me down. Listen, I don't even know where we're going to spend the night. I don't even have food for the people that are traveling with me." David had probably about 70 people with him. He said, "Hushai, I don't have you. I can't. Uh-uh." But that's what Hushai was wanting to go with. He was loyal to his king. He was loyal to his king, and he wanted to go wherever his king went. But think about this. If he's loyal to David, that means he's an enemy of who? Absalom. In other words, and right now, David doesn't think he's going to make it through the night. And Hushai said, "I'm with you. I'm going with you." And David said, "No, I can't. I don't know. I don't have food for you. You're going to slow me down. You're going to be a burden to me. Don't. Thank you. Thank you for wanting to come, but you can't. I got another job for you." but he was a loyal man. Oftentimes we think we're loyal to God until it's time to go or to move on. And then it's our agenda, not the Lord's agenda. My friends, are you loyal to God? Are you doing everything God's called you to do in life? Are you holding back on something? Let me tell you just a short story, a personal story. I grew up in Boone, North Carolina. I was child labor for my father. Still am. And we grew up in Boone, but both sets of my grandparents, my famous grandparents and my non-famous grandparents, all right? They lived in Montreat, point right behind the mountain here, all right? Presbyterians. But the one Baptist over there is a missionary. And so I'd come down from Liberty University. Dr. Miller, I don't think Liberty gives a week of vacation during Easter, do they? Yeah. Back then, we didn't get Monday off. I mean, we didn't. Christian school, no Easter break. I'm not sour or anything. So we had come down to see my grandparents, but it's a quick trip because it's just a weekend, you know, basically it's a weekend trip. And we may have had Good Friday off. I can't remember. Maybe. But we came down. I brought my girlfriend at the time, now my wife Kendra, and we came down to see my grandparents. And so I came down to see my maternal grandparents and the Grahams as well. So my mom's parents, my dad's parents, and they live like literally a mile apart, so it's great. And so I got to go see them and spend some time with them, and then it was time to go home, and we were going to drive up through Boone, see my mom and dad, then get on up to Liberty. And so I needed to get some gas, and so right down the road, there's a town called Marion, North Carolina. And I'm driving on Old 70, and if there's any locals in here, I don't know. Any locals around here, Asheville area? If you, okay. So you guys know where Marion is, Old 7 going through Old Fort. Before you get into Marion, you come to an area called Pleasant Gardens. Not much there. A gun store. And there was a gas station. And I like to go to that little gas station. And the reason was because they actually had a gun store in the back. I think they had 3 guns for sale. You know, you can get oil, gas. And I take the 44 Mag too, you know. And so I went in there to get some gas, and this is Easter Sunday. I had to get back to Liberty because they don't give a break. So I go in there, and I'm waiting to pay, but there's another couple in front of me, and they said a statement that I still remember today, and they weren't mad. They weren't being belligerent or anything. They just said, man, nothing's free anymore. And I don't know what they were referring to. Maybe they needed some, like, air for their tire. You know, like, need some air, and it was 50 cents. And the Holy Spirit said, tell them about today. Easter. Mm-mm. I didn't want to do it. And I remember, like, the Lord, like, why not? Because they're going to think I was listening in on their conversation. But you were. So, I mean, I'm having this internal conversation with the Lord, but at the end of the day, I never shared the gospel with them. I never did. I was loyal up until that point. What I'm telling you is that we've all done it. We all want to show our loyalty card, but we fail so many times. And I'm not the only one. My friends, Hushai was a loyal man. He was willing to put his life on the line for his king. He was a sacrificial man. Because of Hushai's dedication, he was willing to leave everything behind. He left his family. He left his business. He was willing to lose his reputation because if David loses, then he would be labeled as a traitor. He was willing to leave everything behind. Let me ask this. Are you sacrificial in life for the Lord? For the Lord. For the Lord. We sacrifice the things we wanted that are precious to us. I mean, you want to see what's you want to see what's really important to you in your life? Two ways you check to see what's the most important thing in your life. Two things that we value the most. What are the two things we value the most? Time and money. Time and money. You want to see where you're spending most of your money? You want to see what you're spending most of your time on? Yeah, listen, I'm here to tell you I'm a failure in these, all right? All right? I'm a failure in these. That's why I love studying this man, because I see a man that's doing it right. An individual that's doing it right when everything is on the line. He's doing it right. We're not very sacrificial much in anything. Not only was he a sacrificial man, number five, he was a prompt man. As soon as Hushai heard that Absalom was leading the rebellion, he went to go meet David. He didn't make an appointment. He didn't check his phone. He didn't go ask his wife. When David commanded him to return to Jerusalem, he did what? He went straight there. He didn't argue. He didn't count the cost. He simply obeyed. He said, Hushai, I want you to go back into Jerusalem and I want you to be my spy. And what did Hushai said? Yes, sir. And off he went. He didn't argue. Oh. Ooh, spy? Let me pray about that. He did what? He went. He went. Too many times we drag our feet to the obedience of Jesus. We need to hear and see what the King has for us, and then we need to go immediately. We want to pray about things that God has already commanded us to do. I remember when I was leaving my church, God had laid it on my heart, and it was in a dramatic way. He just spoke to me, and he said, Will, what you've now done at the church, you've now finished, it's time to go help your dad. 2006, in Wake Forest, North Carolina. I was pastoring a church at that time, and I didn't want to leave, but I heard God tell me I got to leave. And so I called my dad and said, Dad, he'd been asking me for a while to come and help him. And I said, Dad, God wants me to leave the church and come and help you now. He said, okay, son, that'd be good. Well, why don't you pray about it? And I said, I don't need to pray about, Dad. God's already told me what to do. Those are the things you don't have to pray about. He's already told you what to do. If Hushai had dragged his feet, then he would miss the opportunity to serve the king. And I only can imagine how many times I drug my feet and missed the opportunity to serve my king. Hushai was an intelligent man. We see this in chapter 17 later on. Hushai was a man who gave David very good advice. And that was his service to his king. He gave advice. Ahithophel was the smartest advisor David had. Hushai was just one of them. But he gave good advice. And David said, Hushai, I prayed, you showed up, I'm sending you. Go back and pledge your allegiance to Absalom, my son. Just as you've served me, you're going to serve him and you're going to give him advice. And God will use your advice to thwart the advice of Ahithophel. And so, my friends, he was willing to take his gifts and use them for the king. We need to use our gifts in service of the Lord. And that's what many of you are doing right now. The gift of medicine. And I'm grateful for that. And I'm so thankful for this organization and how you help Samaritan's Purse and how you help World Medical Mission. We're grateful for this organization here. And we're thankful for that. Thank you for using those gifts. My friends, number seven, he was a diligent and faithful man. Let's keep reading. I'm going to pick it up with verse 34. But if you return to the city and say to Absalom, I will be your servant, O king, as I was your father's servant previously, so I will now also be your servant, then you might defeat the counsel of Ahithophel for me. And do you not have Zadok and Abiathar, the priests there? Therefore, it will be that whatever you hear from the king's house, you shall tell it to Zadok and Abiathar the priests. Indeed, they have with them their sons Amahaz and Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abathar's son, and by them you shall send me everything you hear. Here's this spy network he's laying out. So Hushai was a diligent and faithful man. Hushai diligently completed everything that the king asked him to do. He returned to Jerusalem, check. He pledged allegiance to Absalom. We're going to see that in a minute. Check. He thwarted the advice of Ahithophel. Yep. Spoiler alert. He did. Check. He reported back to David. Check. My friends, he diligently and faithfully did everything the king asked him to do. Everything. He didn't forget one iota. Oftentimes, God tells us what to do, and we choose which parts we want to obey. I'm going to give you an insight thing here, all right? Partial obedience is 100% disobedience. When God tells you to do it, partially doesn't work. Hushai did it 100% correct and faithfully. Number 8, one of my favorites here. We see this actually in 1 Chronicles. We see all of Hushai here in 2 Samuel, except there's one little chapter. In 1 Chronicles chapter 27, it said that Hushai, this is what it says, and he was listening to some different people, and it said, there was Hushai, the true companion of the king. How would you like to be, that be your title, the true companion of the king? Nothing greater than to be the companion of the king. Eats with the king, rejoices with the king, enjoys the richness of the king. David had many loyal subjects, but he chose to make Hushai his companion. My friends, we need to make sure that we don't become merely checkbox Christians. I did my devotions. I did my tithe. I went to the CDMA conference. I stayed even for Saturday to hear Will Graham. That's the check spot Christian, just doing it to get it done. This man didn't do it just to get it done. He did it because he wanted to serve the king, because he loved the king, and the king loved him. Are you going to be faithful to God when the government or your medical governing bodies tell you one thing when you know it's wrong? David had many loyal subjects, but he was a companion of the king. Number 9, he was a courageous man. Verse 37. So Hushai, David's friend, went into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem. He got there. Remember, it took him a long time to move. He was slow. He was a burden. So it took him a while to get down there. Walks down that mountain, finally gets in. Right when he walks in, here comes the new king Absalom in. And he pledges allegiance to him and serves him as an advisor. My friends, that takes courage. If you're found out you're the spy, what happens? Off with the head. This is a very dangerous job. It still is today, spies. I mean, when you're caught, it's bad. Unless you're caught in the United States and you get to live in a gated community with free cable TV and a workout gym. Anywhere else, it's bad. Some of you get that in a minute. You have to be courageous in your work as medical doctors. Because, my friends, the time's coming where it's going to get tough to know what right is and what wrong is. And you're going to have to be courageous. It may cost you everything to do what's right. Finally, my friends, number 10, he was a willing man. Hushai was willing to do anything the king asked him to do. He was willing to go back to Jerusalem. He was willing to lose his business. He was willing to lose his family. He was willing to lose his own life. Hushai was willing to lose everything. Why? Because the king asked him. Are you willing to lay everything down for the king? That's the question you're going to have to answer every day for the rest of your life. Are you willing to lay everything down for the King? And so, my friends, I'm asking you right now, what is the King asking you to do in your ministry, your job, your profession, your life, your home? What has the King been asking you to do? The King asked me to witness to that couple almost 40 years ago, 38 years ago. And I didn't do it. And I'm not sure of the reason why. I mean, it's Easter. It's like the best day to witness to anybody. It's the easiest day. I didn't do it. So my friends, I just want to encourage you with Ushuaia. Man that we hardly know, but leaves a huge impact behind.
Friends, if you enjoyed hearing this message from Will Graham on this week's episode, then I want to encourage you to start making your plans to join us next year in St. Charles, Missouri, for the 2025 CMDA National Convention. And here's Jamie. She's going to give you some more details on how you can register right now.
Are you registered yet for the 2025 CMDA National Convention? We will be gathering just outside St. Louis in St. Charles, Missouri, as we learn about how God is calling us to be a spoke in the wheel for Christ in healthcare. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer famously said, we are not to simply bandage the wounds of victims beneath the wheels of injustice. We are to drive a spoke into the wheel itself. Our speakers include Ambassador Sam Brownback, Aaron Hawley from Alliance Defending Freedom, Professor John Wyatt, and more. You don't want to miss this event, so register now at natcon.cmda.org.
I love the way that Will described David's experience in praying to God before the battle that he was facing in 2 Samuel. Will said, David prayed, he opened his eyes, and there before him was the answer to his prayer right in front of him. God had answered the prayer even before David prayed the prayer. Have you ever seen God answer your prayers before you even prayed the prayer? We speak sometimes of prevenient grace, and I guess there are also prevenient answers to prayer. As Christians, we've all experienced and seen firsthand the power of prayer. If you're looking for a great resource that will encourage you in your daily prayer life, then I hope you'll check out Whispers in the Wind by Dr. Al Weir. It's now available in the online CMDA bookstore. This is actually Dr. Weir's second daily devotional for healthcare professionals and their patients, and it's got 365 daily anecdotes and encouragements to help lead you and guide you, friends, as you seek to draw closer to your Lord. You can find that book and the original Whispers book, his first volume, by Dr. Weir online at cmda.org/bookstore.
Have you visited the CMDA bookstore recently? We've made some changes over the last few months, and we're excited for you to start shopping again. All of CMDA's resources that we've published, plus a whole host of medically reliable and biblically sound materials, are now available for you through our partnership with ChristianBook.com. There you can find books like Leadership Proverbs by Dr. David Stevens and Pastor Burt Jones, or Whispers by Dr. Al Weir. Visit cmda.org/bookstore to purchase books like these and many more.
Have you checked out the list of upcoming CMDA events lately? We've got a variety of local and regional, as well as national events that are designed to equip you to glorify God. You can find the full list of upcoming events by going to cmda.org/events. And you know, one of those upcoming events is Augustine College West Conference at Pepperdine University on October 20th through the 25th. You can come join Dr. John Patrick, Jason Baer, and others for the discussion on the intellectual roots of medicine. Whose evidence? Which medicine? Beyond evidence-based medicine. They will be discussing issues surrounding how we can assess information, gain knowledge, and act with wisdom for the benefit of our patients. Also, that we can serve others and Christ with all of our heart, all of our soul, mind, and strength. If you'd like more information and to register, again, just visit cmda.org/events.
We know that healthcare professionals and ministry leaders often find themselves on the front lines dealing with the complex landscape of addiction. That's why CMDA is partnering with the Hendricks Center at Dallas Theological Seminary to host an upcoming virtual conference called The Convergence, Critical Conversations on Addiction. During this virtual event on September 19th through 21st, 2024, join us as we delve into the medical and spiritual dimensions of caring for those struggling with addiction, and as we craft a comprehensive approach to navigating addiction that incorporates both theology and healthcare. For more information and to register, visit cmda.org/events.
Well, Lord willing, I'll be back next Thursday and going to be joined by Drs. Gloria and Paul Halverson. They were recipients of our 2024 Servant of Christ Award, and they took the time to sit down with me and share about their own legacy as a couple of committed Christian doctors in both medicine as well as CMDA. I know that you're going to enjoy this conversation, so be sure to listen in. As I close, I want us to meditate on a couple of questions that Reverend Graham asked near the end of his talk. First, are you willing to lay everything down for the King? And second, what is the King asking you to do today? My challenge to you right now is to honestly and openly answer those two questions as you consider how God wants to use you for His kingdom. And as you commit to 100% total obedience to our King, He will graciously use you as His ambassador, bringing the hope and healing of Jesus Christ to the world around you. That's what matters to CMDA, friends. And CMDA matters. We'll see you next week, friends, God willing.
Thanks for listening to CMDA Matters. If you would like to suggest a future guest or share a comment with us, please email cmdamatters@cmda.org. And if you like the podcast, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and share it on your favorite social media platform. This podcast has been a production of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.